Thanks very much, Brother Mac. And good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ and friends. This morning, I hope that we'll be able to draw out some encouragement and exhortation from the wonderful example of Ruth. We'll look at a few of the highlight moments from her life and identify some of the Christ-like characteristics she displayed as we prepare this morning to consider the sacrifice, the life, death, and resurrection of our ultimate example, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to individually examine ourselves in the light of his perfection. So if you have a Bible handy where you are and you'd like to turn up the passages as we go along, we'll start in Ruth chapter 1. And since most of us know the account of Ruth's life well, I'll be taking some liberties and skipping over many of the details as we move through. And so when news comes that the famine is over in the land of Judah, Naomi decides to return home in Ruth 1 verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And so initially then, both of the daughters-in-law leave Moab with Naomi. It's interesting that both of them, Orpah and Ruth, had a measure of faith and attachment to Naomi and her beliefs that they would leave everything that they knew, everything familiar behind. Let's read on then a few verses then, starting in verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And so Orpah decides to return, but Ruth cleaves to Naomi. And for whatever reason it was, Orpah decides that being told to return to Moab is a stronger draw than the reasons she initially left Moab for Judah. But Ruth hangs on, and this cleaving is the first part of Ruth's character that we want to focus in on this morning. Now, these decisions are not made lightly, regardless of the customs of the day. Clearly, this is a highly emotional moment for these three women, as it would be for anyone who is faced with a life decision like this. After being entreated three times by Naomi to return to their family's households because she felt there was no hope for them to have a fulfilling family life where they were headed, they weep, crying over this decision at least twice, as it's recorded. So this cleaving of Ruth to Naomi in verse 14, this attachment is, I think, one of the defining characteristics of Ruth, that here and at other times in her life, when she sees or knows something is important, has true value, she pays a lot of attention and makes sure she does what she can to be attached to it, a part of it. And so let's think about this word cleave then for a minute. You know, when I hear the word cleaving, I tend to think of a butcher in a butcher shop with a big knife ready to, you know, divide a big piece of meat. But that's not what this word is at all. Clearly, cleaving has multiple opposite meanings. It's the same word as in Genesis 2:24, describing the man and his wife, that a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And we know marriage in God's eyes is an extremely strong, important relationship, one that he chose to describe to us, the level of relationship of his son with the faithful believers in the future as one. And this word is also used to describe how the believer should approach their relationship with God himself. Turn this one up from Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy 10 from verse 20 to 22. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things, which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. And we know that God is not pleased with divided service, that he wants his people to serve him alone and strongly attach themselves to him. We've only looked at two other places where this word is used and seen that it is not something to be done lightly. But not only from the word meaning and the usage, it's clear from the context here in Ruth and what is said and done by Ruth that this is a strong defining attachment. These were not simply two women who decided to be travel companions, but was a strong relationship of mother and daughter-in-law founded on principle and trust. And so we come then to Ruth's statement, or covenant even, with Naomi in chapter 1, verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And so this cleaving, this attachment, is really what God wants us to do in our relationships with him and with his son. Ruth had done this so far with Naomi, and certainly had some knowledge of and relationship with God. The extent of her faith at this point, we don't exactly know, but she did say, your God will be my God and your people my people. And also, where you die, I will die. So I think her hope and her drive in life had now become the same hope as the hope of Israel, that she had adopted this same hope. She was ready and prepared to leave everything behind in Moab, head for a new land, new people, and the only true and wise and living God, and the promises he had made to the true seed of Abraham, those who display the same faith as Abraham. So I'd like to jump forward now into Ruth chapter 2, to the second characteristic of Ruth for us to focus in on this morning. So Ruth chapter 2, and starting at verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And so this phrase then that Boaz uses to describe Ruth's character, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Ruth had come to trust in the true God, God of Israel. And this is a beautiful picture, isn't it? Of trusting, of taking shelter, of protection, of providing that only God can offer on this complete level. That God will be there at all times of need, like a bird that spreads its wings to shelter its young. And that picture of spreading wings of protection is picked up in many places in Scripture. Many times in the Psalms, especially of David. Also in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and starting at verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. And so we have that lovely picture of God protecting his people as an eagle with wings. And a few of David's references to this picture of safety under the wings of God from Psalm 17, verse 8 and 9, it says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. From Psalm 61, verse 3, he writes again, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And again in Psalm 63, verse 6 and 7, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. So from just these three psalms, for David, the place under God's overshadowing wings was a place of protection, joy, and trust. And David being the great grandson of Ruth and knowing the things that were spoken of her, I think would have framed at least to some degree the words that he penned about God and the protection and comfort that he, David, received. So we're going to move quickly through the rest of Ruth and just bring out one more point because we want to bring this to Christ this morning. Well, we come to Ruth chapters 3 and 4 and the redemption of Ruth and Naomi and the houses of their deceased husbands by Boaz. And Boaz, taking Ruth to wife, redeemed not only her but Naomi also, as he was that near kinsman, prepared to continue the family name. And a child is born, Obed, of whom is spoken great things along with Naomi, Boaz, and Ruth at the end of chapter 4. I'd just like to reread some of those verses starting at Ruth 4, verse 11. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. and let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And so, brothers and sisters, we've looked at some of Ruth's life quickly and the character and seen a reflection of Christ in her. And Jesus perfectly displayed these characteristics that we've considered from the life of Ruth, cleaving and trusting under the shadow of the wings of God. And at times, Jesus' only source of protection, help, and a place to put his trust was his Heavenly Father. At times, he had no one else to lean on. And so just as I think David drew from the example of Ruth, I know Jesus drew from the word of God in every moment, and the Psalms possibly every day. The Psalms of David speaking of the protection under the shadow of God's wings would have been a comfort to Jesus in his times of stress and suffering and loneliness. His prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples off to the side falling asleep. He was alone except for his Father. His trust could only be in him. While on the cross, although there were two others crucified beside him and others looking on, mocking, he was alone with only the Father to trust him, to have comfort in the assurance that he would be raised, that he would not be on the cross forever. He would not be in the tomb forever, but he would be raised. And so, brothers and sisters, I find encouragement in the example of Ruth and those Christ-like characteristics she upheld, and that God in his infinite wisdom decided to insert her into the family line of his Son. As we consider and remember our Lord's sacrifice, life, death, and resurrection, that Ruth reflected those aspects of his character and valued the eternal, trusting in God and cleaving, attaching herself through God's grace to the true hope and redeeming work of Christ.